today in this beautiful sunshiny day that we just sit here and just discuss your word and hear your word. Father, just let us learn from each other today as we speak about what the word has to say to us. Mm-hmm. We want to thank you for everything you're doing. Mm-hmm. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, we were, before we got off on our overcomers tangent, we were, and I finally did figure out where that overcomers tangent came from. And it came from the tail end of Romans 8, the last thing that we had read in there, where it says, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And that conquerors is kind of the same as overcoming. And we have to remember that the overcoming is in Christ Jesus and in him alone. So I guess it's time then. Let's just read the tail end of Romans 8 before we go into 9, okay? I love it when they start asking the question. So let's say, what shall we then say to these things? And they're before these things they were saying were, for whom he did foreknow, he predestinated, and all that stuff. Okay? He did predestinate them. He also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. I mean, when you read things like that, your carnal mind has to say, huh? You know, being justified, being glorified. And we do know that we don't deserve that. You know, and so it's not by works. And I think that's exactly if you want to talk about what Romans 9 actually speaks about. It's the concept of works versus faith. So what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Freely give us all things. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Well, I like that. I wish somebody would write that on my brain. It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? Well, I remember seeing that something in the word evil can also be translated tribulation. So shall evil, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sore, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, woo, we are more than conquerors. Yes. Through him who loved us. Rashid, you know Jesus loves you, right? Cool. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And, you know, every time I read, what can separate us from the love of God? You know why nothing can? Because we are one. He and us, we and him, you know. We're all one. So how can anything separate? Mm-hmm. Kind of like getting married. But God has joined together that no man place asunder.
You know, Kathy, when I read that portion of scripture there,
mm-hmm.
the one word that sticks out to me the most in there is he. So it says, whom he, who's it talking about? The Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Whom he did know, he did also predestinate. Who did it? He did. That we be not be conformed to the image of his son, that we might be the firstborn among many, many brothers. For whom he predestinated, he, there again, the Lord,
mm-hmm.
called, whom he justified, he again, the Lord. You know, and the more that you keep seeing that, it's telling you it's really all about him. You know what I mean. We make it about us sometimes, but it's really about him, because he's the one that did it all. We didn't do anything other than receive what he had done and acknowledge what he had done. And you know, that's the beauty of this whole thing about grace and salvation. It's a work that he did, you know. And grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. It only comes through him. It can't come anywhere else. You know, and I just love that. As I read down through there, I just keep seeing he more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whom he predestinated, them he, there again, also called, and them who he justified, and whom he justified, he also glorified. He, you know, just keep saying he.
Yeah.
And we should really come to that realization of that. This thing is not so much about us, but it's so much about him and what he's done for us. And thank God that he did it, because we couldn't have done it, you know. And if we'd have tried to do it, we'd have made a mess of it, like we do in most things in our lives, you know. When it comes down to us trying to do something for the Lord, you know what I mean? Because you can't really do anything for him. You can flow with him, but you can't do anything for him, you know. And, you know, he who condemned not, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, rather that is risen, and at the right hand of God. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, and all those things that you read before. And nobody can separate us from that. The only person that can ever separate us from God is ourselves, by not believing in the truth or the truthfulness of him. And what he's already accomplished in our lives, you know. And, you know, what the scripture talks says, let God be true and let every man what? Be a liar. And if you say he hasn't done it, you know what? You're just a liar. You're telling a lie. I mean, I hate to say that, but that's the truth of the matter. You're telling a lie, because he has done it. And it's already been accomplished. And we need to learn to rest in what he's already done. And acknowledge what he's already done, you know. But I love that, because it's just he. He's the one that did it, you know. Hey, look at that girl there.
She has
going?
Returned.
Look at her.
She looks nice. Look at her. Yeah.
Yes. Good to see you.
You doing all right today?
Well, yeah. I'll be okay.
All right.
I.
What's a pretty blouse you got on there?
And look at her.
Thank you.
Oh, you're very nice.
Here, watch it. Margaret be trying to steal that sweater. She likes the Christmas trees on them sweaters. She'll be trying to steal your sweater. You better watch her.
Okay, now we have Etta is in the room, so we can continue.
Yeah.
We love you. Girl. I was thinking about wearing a mask because I thought I was dying. All I had was a cold. But it's 4 weeks. And I told Jim, my son, I said, I have got to go to church. Now, cold or not. So if you see me put my mask on, it's I cough. And I don't want to alarm anybody.
No, if you sneeze or cough or sniff, Everybody, oh, you know, thank you guys.
So,
yes.
Well, it's good to see you. We're glad you're here. We miss you when you're not here.
Yeah, it's been 4 weeks.
Yeah.
4 weeks.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's continue with this and go on into Romans chapter 9.
Want some coffee?
Oh, yeah.
You sit there.
Just sit there.
Tell him how you want it.
Black? No, cream.
Cream.
He knows.
Oh, he knows.
Excuse me. I happily share my husband with him.
Good guy, yeah.
So let's go into to chapter 9. There are some things in there that deep truths. And I think the hardest thing in chapter 9 that I find in there to read is that it's all by faith and not by works. And to understand, it seems like they separate the Jewish world from the Gentile world. I don't want to say the Christian world. And so let's just start with, you want to start reading it? Oscar, will you read a little bit there?
Sure.
Chapter 9.
I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ, for my brother, my kinsmen, according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption, and the glory, and the covenants, and the giving of the law, and the service of God, and the promises, whose are fathers, and of whom it is as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. How far are you going down? Not as though the word of God had taken none effect, for they are not all Israel which are Israel, neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they the children. But in Isaac shall thy seed be called.
Okay. Will you explain some of that? Because I don't understand that. Abraham was
Abraham,
part of the promise as well.
Abraham was the father of faith. Mm-hmm. And what he's saying is there is, just because they're natural children of Abraham, that does not make them... they have to really do the same works of Abraham. They have to believe God and trust in God. And what he's saying is, it's not as though the word of God had taken none effect, for they are not all Israel which are Israel, neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all the children of Abraham, but in Isaac shall your seed be called. Well, according to Jewish tradition, the firstborn son was always the inheritor. And Isaac was literally the secondborn son to Abraham. But he was born because it was a promise given of God, and you know, he was the promised seed. And you know, just like Jesus Christ is the promised seed, and we're the promised seed, you know, because we're children of him. And there's a scripture that says, he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, and that circumcision is of the flesh, but he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is of the heart, and not of the letter. You know, not according to the law. And see, that's what he's really saying here. He's basically saying they're not all Israel, because they're the seed of Abraham. But they are the children. But in Isaac shall your seed be called, in the children of promise, in the children of the purposes of God. You know. And literally the second born son, when you get down to it, because to be honest with you, if Israel was the firstborn son of, you know, of Isaac, you know, because he came out of Isaac, you know, if Israel was the natural Israel was the firstborn son, and then when Christ came, we were born again of the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. We became the second-born son, but born of a spiritual birth, not a natural birth. Mm-hmm. See? So, everyone in Israel, he concluded them all under sin. Everybody, them included, and us too, until we received what Christ did for us. And he that knew no sin became sin, Christ, that we might become the righteousness of God. And we've become righteous, not in what we've done, but in what he did for us, you know. I hope that makes a lot of sense.
The firstborn son of Abraham was not of Sarah, right?
Right.
Was out of the hand serpent.
That's why he said, "In Isaac shall your seed be called a second born." See?
He was the child of promise.
Promise.
Because God promised Sarah a son.
A son, right.
Okay.
She promised Sarah a son. He was a second born son.
And it was a miracle.
And it was a miracle. She was 90 something years old. Cowgirl. God can do a miracle. Behave yourself. No, really.
That's true.
He, you know, really, and when you think about it, it's really kind of simple, but it's not, you know, it's a little bit, if you don't really understand what's been taking place here, if you don't understand the principle of firstborn, secondborn son. Now, he said, "In Isaac shall your seed be called." Now, you have to realize that in Isaac, there again, you have a situation to where there was two sons born. You know, Jacob and Esau. And Esau was the firstborn son. They were twins. Mm-hmm. But they didn't look like. Mm-hmm. But they were twins. But the funny thing about it is even with the second born son, and this is kind of neat when you think about it, even with the second born son, realizing in the womb something was off, he grabbed Esau by the heel, mm-hmm, and tried to pull him back in.
So he could be firstborn.
But you know what? That wasn't God's purpose, because when they were both born, then what? We know the story of Esau. Esau. I keep getting their names mixed up sometimes. Esau and Jacob. We know the story there. That Esau sold his birthright to Jacob for what? For some pottage, for some food,
yeah.
To what? To feed the flesh, yeah. You know. In other words, he sold his birthright to him, and then later on he sold his inheritance to him. Mm-hmm. Even gave him his inheritance. Well, that was just all in type and shadow, and that was God wanting us to realize. And we just read Romans the 8th chapter, mm-hmm, yes. And in Romans the 8th chapter, what does it say? That Jesus was. And what does it say we were? We were the what? First what? First he was the first born among what?
Many
brethren. So all the many brethren were what? The second born son. Mm-hmm. You know. Mm-hmm. So there you go. That whole theme runs all the way through Scripture.
I want to ask a question. I'm kind of stuck on this.
Yeah.
Abraham was the father of
Isaac.
No, before Isaac.
Abraham was the father of Isaac.
And who was before Isaac? That other one that went off and became.
Oh, that was Ishmael.
Ishmael.
Yeah, yes, Ishmael. Sir.
Okay, Abraham was the father of Ishmael, and then he was the father of Isaac.
Right.
Now, when you read in the New Testament in Matthew, the generations of the Lord. He is truly Isaac. We truly are. Isaac is the one who goes down the generations and
right.
to Christ. Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Not Ishmael.
No.
Right. He goes off here on some.
Ishmael goes off in another vein.
Another
Ishmael
generation.
Is over in the Middle East today.
Mm-hmm.
Ishmael is still fighting.
Yep.
Fighting Isaac.
Yes,
yeah.
They are, and they call themselves children of Abraham, and they are.
Well, they are,
yes.
But they also, they know they're children of Ishmael, too.
Mm-hmm.
And they will tell you that they think that Ishmael was the real inheritor,
yes.
not Isaac, see. They'll tell you that, well, but it's because that's the natural tradition, see?
Yeah.
And not only that, you know, it runs all the way up to where even when you get up to Joseph, you know, and Joseph's two sons when they were born, you know, and when Joseph's two sons were born, they brought Joseph's two sons. Joseph brought his two sons before his father, which was Israel, which was Israel, and Jacob or Israel, and he was blind, it says, for old age. You know, he couldn't see. I mean, he was blind. And he brought him, and he was real careful to put Manasseh on the right-hand side of his father, where when his father gave the blessing, reached his hand out, his right hand was going to be on the firstborn son. But it's real weird when you read that, because it says he brought him before Jacob, but it doesn't say Jacob beheld him. It says Israel beheld him. And that's what Jacob's name was changed to when he had his encounter with God. And that name Israel means he shall rule as God. You know, and in the King James will say that a prince with God or a prevailer with God. But it really, the real meaning of that name is that he shall rule as God. And when it says that Israel beheld him, the firstborn was standing on his right side, the secondborn was on his left side. He puts his right hand over on his left side and gives the right hand blessing to the secondborn son. And Joseph tries to take his hand away and says, "No, no, Father, not so, not so." And he says, "I know it. I know it. I know it." He beheld him, see, in the spirit, and he knew what God was doing. He was going to always bless the secondborn son, because there was a principle there that was going to come all the way down to us.
Yes.
Because we are that, he was the firstborn among many brethren. We were that secondborn many brethren, the whole Christian nation, you know. And literally all of mankind is going to be that way before it's all done. But that whole principle there, and that's what's taking place right here. That's what he's talking about. And if you understand what went on down through the ages, and see, Manasseh's name was causing to forget. It meant causing to forget. Now he was that firstborn son. And what does the scripture tell us up in the New Testament? Forgetting what? Those things which are behind, and pressing towards the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. See? And we have to forget that we used to be the firstborn son. We were of the Adam nature. But that's why we had to be born again, see? And most Christians don't even know what they're talking about when they say, "Well, I've been born again." What do you mean? How was you born again? You were born of the incorruptible seed of the Word of God, and you became a spiritual man instead of a natural man, see?
Yes.
And that's the way that whole thing goes all the way down the line. Manasseh's name meant causing to forget. Now, and I'm preaching a little sermon here, but anyway, Ephraim's name means double portion or dual fruited. Double portion. And what did Jesus say? These works, he was the firstborn, you know, literally, you know, the firstborn totally in the image and likeness of God, because there was no impart there. When, you know, and a lot of people like to say Adam was, and I don't believe Adam was, because 1 Corinthians chapter 15 will tell you different than that. But anyway, it tells you there that he was the firstborn, that he was the firstborn among many brethren, and it tells you that he said, these works that I do shall you do, and what? Greater works than these. How could we do any greater works than that? Because we're a many-membered body, and there's going to be millions of us doing the works of God. millions of us doing whatever God tells us to do.
In one accord.
Wow. As one man. Yeah, stand up. Yes. There's only two men in the earth today. There's really only one, because that first man, Jesus took him and hung him on the cross, which was the nature of Adam. But there, people still think they're that of that other man, mm-hmm. and they're really not, you know. And there's only two men. There's Adam and there's Christ. And you know, that's why it tells you, and that's why I was talking about 1 Corinthians chapter 15 being such an important thing to study and really look at it and really come to understand what he's really saying there. You know, it just really blows it up and really lets you know what the whole purposes of God was. It tells you that that first man was of the earthly. He was a natural man. He was a soulish man. It tells you that that second man was Jesus Christ. He was the Lord from heaven. It says we bore the image of the earthly. Now we have to bear the image of the heaven.
Okay?
That second born son. And you know, he took our place. He became the firstborn and took on all the sins of the whole world so that he could set creation free, you know. And part of our ministry as reconciliation ministry is to tell people what he's done, you know, to tell them they've been forgiven, to tell them God's not mad at them, to tell them that they can walk in newness of life, you know, and all that kind of stuff, you know. Does that make any sense to you, girl?
Yeah, but,
okay.
But listen, when you say that to people, they tell you you're full of.
That's all right.
I mean,
yes, it's true.
Some you just...
The ones who are supposed to hear it will hear it when they're supposed to hear it. The ones who won't. Not until it's their time.
Not until it's their time.
Yeah. But there again, you need to tell it to the people you feel like the Lord directs you to tell it to. And then what will tend to happen there is, even if they seem to reject it, he said his word never returns void. So in other words, it'll go down inside of them, and it'll lay dormant there, but it'll start working. And it's like putting that seed in a little bit of dirt and a little bit of water. You put it in there, it's a seed. And it don't spring up into a big tree all of a sudden. But as the water hits it, sunshine hits it, it starts growing, you know.
And you can, even those people who will not hear this, you can always talk about goodness of God,
love of God,
the love of God, the things that you can just pluck at the things that do encourage them.
Well, see, where people make mistake, a lot of Christian folks, is they try to tell people the deep stuff.
Yeah.
Don't tell people the deep stuff. If you're talking to somebody that doesn't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, tell them your witness, what God has done for you. Now, I just had to go through a interview on the phone, because I'm going to have that surgery Monday. I had to go through an interview on the phone with, I guess, the anesthesiologist. So she wanted to know my history. And she was looking through my records and stuff, and she was asking me questions. And she says, I see here where it said that you had seizures at one time. And I said, well, yeah, I said, I did. I said, from the time I was 9 years old till I was 12 years old. So what did I do there? I had a chance to witness to her, because I told her, I said, yeah. I said, I'd have epileptic seizures for 3 years. And I said, from the time I was 9 till I was 12. And I said, and my mother came out of the back room one time after she'd been in there praying. And she said, son, if I know the voice of the Lord, you'll never have another seizure. God said he's healing you. And I understood, even back then, I don't know why, and I guess it was because God was letting me know, but I understood what she meant when she said, God's healing you. Not that I was healed, but like it was going to be a process. And I understood that. And I don't know, she didn't tell me that, but I understood that. For some reason, I did. And I would feel like I was going to have seizures. at times, you know, and I would quote scripture. She gave me a scripture to quote. 2 Timothy verse 7, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind.
Are you sharing all this with her?
Absolutely, on the phone. I was sharing this whole thing with her. Mm-hmm. And I told her, I said, and they had to get my records. She said, well, you know, what happened? I said, well, I said, later on in life, when I wanted to get life insurance, when I was an adult, I said, I had to agree for the insurance company's doctor to get my medical records. And he got all my medical records from my doctor, and he read them, and here was his reply. Boy, I bet that's one they can't explain. That's exactly what he said to me, because I had had EEG tests, and it showed I had epilepsy and all that kind of stuff. And then later on, I had EEG tests after those 3 years, and it showed normal, you know. And he said, I bet that's one they can't explain. So what did I do there? I witnessed to him. See? So God opened the door for me to witness to two different people. You know, and there's been many a time that I've shared that story. But you know, even with that, God was teaching me to walk out of that by faith. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. to walk out of it by faith. And after I got saved, I still, if I would get any kind of numbness or anything in my mouth or anything, boy, my stomach would roll over into a knot, because you know when you're going to have a seizure. And she told me that. She says, I know you knew when you were going to have a seizure, didn't you? And I said, yeah, I did. And she said, yeah. She said, that's the way that works, you know, because she understood that stuff medically. And I told her, I said, yeah. But the thing about it was, is after I got, and I'll just share this whole testimony for anybody out there that's listening to this. But anyway, what happened after that was, is that after I got saved and started going to church, I had a brother come over to me in a prayer meeting. We had the room lights off, and we were all in there praying, and this old brother had a prophetic ministry. He don't go to church anymore. He died. I think he went on to be with the Lord, actually. He came over to me, and he said, Brother Oscar, he said, Lord keeps speaking the word epilepsy to me concerning you. He said, do you have epilepsy? And I said, no. He said, did you have it? I said, yes. He said, do you have a fear of it? I said, yes. He said, God wants you to proclaim that fear is gone. And I said, okay. That was a Tuesday night. And on a Wednesday night, Brother Eddie asked, he says, anybody got a testimony? Well, you got to realize, me in those days back then, I was very backward about getting up in front of a lot of people, because I had seizures in public and different things. I didn't like to get up in front of people. Didn't like to go in restaurants. I wouldn't hardly go in a restaurant and eat, because, you know, because of having seizures in public. People act so goofy when that happens to you. I had them at school, you know, a couple of times, a few times. But anyway, so when he said that to me, you know, that the Lord wants you to testify or to proclaim that that's gone, you know, or, you know, say that fear is gone, he asked, does anybody have a testimony? I said, yeah, I do. And I stood up, and it was hard for me to stand up. And as soon as I stood up, I felt like I was going to have a seizure, you know. But I said, I want to thank God for taking the fear of epilepsy away from me. And boy, that was gone, and I've never had that since then. The minute that I spoke those words out, that was gone. And but see, God was teaching me to walk out of that by faith. And I know this, that not everything, when God gives you a word, happens instantaneously. Sometimes you have to, having done all to stand, stand, and stand on His word. And I did. From the time I was 12, and at that particular time, I was 21, I think, you know. And I could only get my license every 6 months, you know, when I did get licensed, even though I hadn't had seizures since I was 12 years old. And I'd have to go get an EEG test every time, you know, with an electroencephalogram. And it would always show I didn't have it, but inevitably, whenever I'd be laying on the table, had taken that test, I'd feel like I was going to have a seizure every time. and when I'd just lay there to myself and keep repeating those scriptures. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. And I'd basically say, devil, you're a liar. I don't receive this, you know. and it would subside and go away. But all it would always show normal. And then finally, they finally let me get my regular license, you know. Mm-hmm. And the way I come to witness to that insurance man was I didn't have any life insurance. I couldn't get life insurance from anybody. Well, I had Margaret and those two little kids, you know. And when this one guy came by, they used, you know, insurance guys used to come and visit your house. Yeah. They didn't like it as today. Yeah. They'd come and visit your house. Well, this guy came and he says, I think I can get you some life insurance. Because I explained to him, he's wanting to sell me life insurance. And I told him, he said, I think I can get you life insurance. He said, if you're willing to go, because I shared with him, and he was a Christian, you know. Mm-hmm. And he said, if you're willing to go and, you know, see our doctor and give him your medical records and stuff. And I said, well, I'm willing to do that. And I got my first life insurance policy back then. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was $5,000 or something like that. A little bit, but later on I could get life insurance. Once I got it from one company, I could get it from others. Mm-hmm. But you know, even with stuff like that, even though that was a terrible time and something terrible to go through, you know, as a kid, and because I went through some rough times as a kid. I mean, when I was in grade school, I got in a lot of trouble. I mean, because kids would say stuff to me because I had seizures. And, I mean, you know, the fight was on. You said something to me, we were going to fight. I mean, you know, about having a seizure. I mean, that's because, you know, I hadn't committed my life to the Lord back then, you know. And, you know, I got in a lot of trouble at different times, you know. And it's funny because that friend I've told you of mine, of Randy, that wanted to get baptized, you know.
Yeah.
He told me, he says, I always felt like I always tried to calm you down. he was the wildest guy I knew. He'd always say, I always tried to calm you down when you get all worked up. And I, you know, and I said, well, you know, and it's kind of funny talking to him, but, you know, but anyway, you know, it's funny how you learn things from these. I learned so much. I mean, buddy, when somebody's hurting, I can feel for them. When they have problems, I can feel for them because I know exactly what that's like. When they're depressed, I can feel for them because I've been there, you know.
Don't you think that things we've went through and you look and see, I've looked at and seen that there's really power and strength empowering you.
You
declare that when you're going through things, no matter how you see it in the natural, you've already been given a word, a prophecy, or and that you're able to stand on that word and declare it no matter what you're seeing with your natural eye. There's an empowerment and a strength, and it seems to build your faith, you know, at what you declare out of your mouth.
Well, that friend I was telling you about that I grew up with this guy, you know, and he's told me, he tells me every time I talk to him, he says, if I come and get baptized, he said, can I get up and share? And I was saying, I don't know if you want to tell people the stuff we did, you know, but we didn't do nothing really horrible or nothing. But he said, I want to tell them, you went one way and I went the other. he says, you went the good way and I went the bad way. Because, I mean, he's been in prison and everything else, you know.
Yeah, he's kept in touch with you, you're looking.
Well, he called me after I hadn't seen him for years. And then I hadn't heard from him for a long time, and I was wondering if he was even alive, because I hadn't heard from him for years and years. And he called me a couple years ago, and, you know, he said that he had found out that I was a minister, you know. And he said, he told somebody, he says, well, I got to go to him to get saved.
Oh,
he said, I know he's the one that I got to go to.
He knew what God had done in your life.
He knew God had done something for me.
And
the funny thing, well, I don't know if I should tell you this one or not, but he told me, he always carried a big switchblade, you know. He always had, even from the time we were little kids, I mean, he always had a switchblade in his back pocket. And, you know, one time me and him and another guy was hitchhiking over into Kentucky. We was only like maybe, I bet we was 11 years old or something, you know. And we was hitchhiking over to Kentucky to go swimming. We were gonna go swimming over at that Tacoma Beach or whatever it is over there.
Mm-hmm.
And So this guy pulls up, and he's this guy pulls up and says, "Hey, you guys need a ride?" And we said, "Yeah, you know." So we're dumb kids, so we jump in the car. Me and Rainey get in the back seat. James got in the front seat. So when you went over to Kentucky to go to that where that beach was, after you crossed the bridge, you turned to the left and went up the road, because we'd walked over there different times and went swimming in the Ohio River, which, wonder we ain't got all kind of diseases and stuff. But anyway, instead of turning to the left, he turned to the right. And after a minute or two, we said, "Hey, man, you're going the wrong way." And he didn't say anything. He just kept driving. So his guy had some bad designs. Well, we got just a little bit farther down the road. Randy pulled that switchblade out and stuck it up to his neck and told him, "You better pull this car over right now." And he did, and we got out. Now, that was one time.
Saved y'all's life.
He's probably saved our life, or could have saved our life. 11 years old, I doubt a full-grown man. We might have been able to take him, but I doubt it. Mm-hmm. You know, 11-year-old kid's 11-year-old kid, you know. But anyway, you know, and he told me when me and him was in grade school, where we was actually in summer school one time. We had to go to summer school. And we're in summer school, and he gets in a fight with somebody after the class. And he gave me the knife to hold on to, so, you know, because he didn't want to have it, because if it got too heated or something, he might have used it or something. He gave it to me. And he tells me every time, he says, "You had my back, you stayed right there with me." He says, all them guys were gathered around, and he said, "You just stayed right there." And he says, "I'll never forget, you had my back." I said, "Well, buddy, I wouldn't run off from you." I said, "If they'd have jumped in on you, I'd have jumped in on them." I said, you know, we were friends, you know. But, you know, but anyway. You know, it's funny how God does stuff. But anyway, I did pray with him, and he gave his life to the Lord, you know. And he's in such bad condition. And every time he says he's going to come down, he ends up in the nursing home. And I told him, I said, "Buddy, won't you just call me sometime? I'll come up, I'll baptize you in your bathtub or wherever you want to do it." I said, "If you want to be baptized, I'll baptize you anywhere you want." And he said, "Well, we might do that sometime." He says, "I still want to come down there sometime." I said, "Well, you're welcome to come down. Just let me know ahead of time so I can get the tank ready for you if you come down." But he's pretty crippled up. He couldn't even walk for a while there. And then they did get him through some rehab where he could walk, you know, again. But he was in the military, and he said he was a sniper and all kind of stuff like that. And, you know, I love him. I mean, you know, we were real close friends when we were kids, you know. But anytime we'd go out, I had to watch him because he was liable to do something bad or destructive, you know, and I tell him, "Don't do this stuff if you're with me, man. You can be put in jail. It's good. Better not put me in the same cell with you." You know, I tell him, I threaten him because he would do pretty rough stuff sometimes, you know. But I never did do a lot of stuff a lot of them boys did, you know what I mean? Because the Lord, you know, I had a Christian mother and I knew better, you know what I mean.
But he has a testimony, and there be those that can identify with him.
Right.
And how his life has changed, because when my son Charles came down there, he had been in prison before.
Right.
And Lonnie shared with him how he had been in prison and identified, you know, been locked up before. Mm-hmm. And he talked to Charles, and Charles said, "He always just loves me," and he said, "I can see. And in spite of what I've done, he's let me know that God loves me, forgiven me, you know, and that's us."
Well, you know, the thing about it is when you know, when the scripture says the steps of a man are ordered of the Lord, you know, it doesn't say the steps of a good man, but it says the steps of a man. And a lot of people say steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. But it doesn't really say that. It says the steps of a man. God puts you with the people he's put you with over the years for a reason, and he's allowed those people to be into your life, and either you learned from them or you didn't. You know, you could have learned the good to go the other way or whatever, you know. And I always look at it like, you know, most of the people that I knew when I was growing up, I just didn't do the stuff that they did, you know what I mean. I mean, And we, you know, we used to put on boxing gloves and box a lot and all that kind of stuff. You know, we did that kind of stuff a lot. And at that particular time, you know, when I boxed with most of them, I could whip them, you know. So they didn't really push me to do anything I didn't want to do. So it was kind of one of them situations to where I basically, you know, could say, no, I'm not doing that. You know, you guys go on. I'm not going to do that or something. And I didn't get any flack from it, you know. Like, because a lot of times if you're with a bunch of guys, you know, you're going to get a rough time if you don't go along with the stuff they do. But those guys would do stupid stuff. I mean, you know, sometimes. I mean, jeez, I couldn't believe it.
Our son Chris used to love to hang around the fringes of the bad boys.
Yeah.
Just, I, you know, but he would never, you know.
Well, that's like my brother. He ran with some pretty tough people. I mean, he was a big fighter. He got into a lot of fights and stuff.
The meaner, uglier they, I'll say ugly, the uglier they were, I was right there.
Yeah. Well, you know, yeah. But look how sweet you are today.
You can't believe it. God does such a thing.
Look how sweet you are today.
Yeah.
You're just a sweet lady.
God is so good to
us.
Let me read this, because this is really and truly, this is very similar to what we're talking about
right.
here in Romans 9. It's not our works.
Yeah.
The good ones or the bad ones.
Yeah.
It's not our works. It's you know, it's by faith. Jesus did it all. But here in the Passion Bible, it says,
go down to about verse 11 if you can find it. Read that one.
Verse 11. I think, you know who's guessing? Oh, I think, is this the one where it says, yeah, that's exactly, I've got it all underlined in here. It says, and before her twin sons were born, God spoke to Rebekah and said, the oldest will serve the youngest. God spoke these words before the sons had done anything good or bad.
Right.
They were just little doodads in her uterus, you know?
Yeah.
Which proves that God calls people not on the basis of their good or bad works, but according to his divine purpose.
Yeah.
You know, once you're born and you have some history with eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Well, I've done this, that was really bad. I've done this, you know, and you're kind of inching your way, my good outweighs my bad outweighs my good. And we get all into that garbage. We don't even relate to the fact that God just plain loves us, period. He doesn't look at either the good or the bad.
Right.
And he said, for the words of scripture, Jacob I have chosen, but Esau I have rejected. So what does this mean? Are we saying that God is unfair? Of course not. He had every right to say to Moses, I will be merciful to whomever I choose.
Mm-hmm.
And that's true, isn't it?
Yeah,
and I will show compassion to whomever I wish. And again, this proves that God's choice doesn't depend on how badly someone wants it or tries to earn it, but it depends on God's readiness and mercy. Amazing.
Yeah, that's good. And that's
God
good.
Is not like me.
You know,
I was sitting in a meeting yesterday, and we were talking about wisdom, and the ladies said she looked up the definition of wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what we're talking about here.
Mm-hmm.
It says, knowledge that is gained by having many experiences in life.
Right. The good
and
the bad ones.
And you know, right. When you were talking, you were saying, you know, you hang out with a bunch of guys. When you were young, if you were a bunch of guys, there was always one guy that you knew
was liable to go sideways.
Could go sideways at any minute.
Yeah,
you're
right.
There was always one guy.
Yeah.
And you either got caught in the middle of it. I can't tell you how many times when I was a teenager or young, you know, in my late teens and early 20s, I'd be somewhere and the next thing you know, man, a fight break out and I'm right in the middle of it. And I don't even know what happened. I mean, I can remember one time we were standing in line to go to one of the nightclubs down at UC when we were students. The next thing you know, the guy I'm with in front of me, he's just punches the bouncer right in the jaw. And all of a sudden, you know what happened. And I'm standing there, I'm going, what the heck? But you know, we learn from that. You were saying that, oh, you know, if it was ugly, I understand that. I think everybody in this room can understand that. Yeah. But you learn as you get older that, you know, I don't want that anymore. Yeah. And that's God moving in your life and giving you wisdom that's not who you really are. It's what I was because I didn't know any better.
Yeah.
Well, I will say this concerning me. I started going with Marta when I was 14. And because I spent so much time with her, I wasn't around those guys after that. Mm-hmm. And this was when we were real young. I mean, real, real young. You know what I mean.
She suffered.
So just imagine if I ran with those guys, you know, up into my teenage years, which I didn't, you know. I mean, they did stuff when we were 10, 11, 12 years old, you know. And you know, but the thing about it is that, you know, God knows, and he brought Margaret into my life right at the right time because we spent all of our time together. I mean, we were always together, you know. And I would see those guys once in a while. A couple times we double dated when we got old enough to drive and all that stuff. But I didn't run around with them anymore. You know what I mean. And I just run into them here and there. And, you know, we talk and, you know, talk about old times when we were kids and stuff. And even when I was telling Randy about that time about with us, that guy trying to take us away, you know, I don't think he even remembered that until I started telling him. And he says, oh, that's right, I did do that. He did so much stuff after that, you know, that didn't even come to the forefront of his mind until I started telling him about it. And he says, oh, yeah, that's right. He said, well, you know, I always had that knife. I said, you know, I know you always did. I mean, we were just little kids, you know. I mean, he's packing that thing all the time, you know.
I never got in trouble with all. Many times we were taken to the police station.
Yeah.
There's little me.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Batting them eyelids.
Yeah.
Cry.
And I never got in trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that didn't help me.
No, because it worked.
We're going to have to go. We're running over. We've told him many war stories all over.
Father, thank you for showing us who we really are.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Father, for filling us with your love and your destiny and your predetermination to love us no matter what.
Amen.
Father, we just love you, we praise you, we glorify you, and we give you all the glory for everything that's going to happen,
yes,
for the big service today, and for the day. We bless you, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Well, this is turning.